One thing about Skype is that not always do we get to see our guests, but I'm glad to say I can see my next guest. He's in his man cave, and it certainly looks cave-ish, all right. Dylan Howard joins us. Dylan, good evening or good morning, where you happen to be. How are you today?
Very good, thank you. It's just coming up to noon.
Okay, so good morning and nearly good afternoon to you where you are in across the water. You've got a new book. It's called Royals at War. I've been mentioning it a little earlier on. The untold story of Harry and Meghan's shocking split with the House of Windsor. How does a fella from across in the Atlantic Ocean or across the Atlantic Ocean manage to get the scoop on what's happening in the House of Windsor?
Well, I've been fascinated with the royals for quite some time. As you can probably understand, this is not an American accent. No. This is an Australian accent. And as a member of the Commonwealth, I certainly remember vividly the moment when the news of Princess Diana's death reverberated around the world. And so began somewhat of an obsession with the royal family on my behalf. And then over the last two decades, decade, I should say, here in the United States, I have edited many of the major weekly magazines on the newsstand and had built up a network of sources surrounding the royal family. So when it emerged late last year that there was trouble in paradise, I started toiling with the idea of writing a book, and then, of course, the announcement came, and it was the raison d'etre to publish the book Royals at War.
Okay, now, can you tell me how you managed to harvest and foster these contacts that allow you to get into the House of Windsor and find out exactly what's happening? Because normally you'd have to be on the ground there working with and building up a reputation with these people, wouldn't you?
Yes and no. You've got to understand there are a lot of people that were adversely affected by Harry and Meghan's decision to split from the royal family. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of disgruntled people, and people around those people were all too willing to talk and to talk about what was going on behind the walls and inside the gilded cage that is the House of Windsor. It was leaking like a sieve, and it was leaking like a sieve for a reason. There was animosity associated with what was going on, that procedures and protocols and long-standing traditions that have ruled the monarchy for hundreds of years were being discarded and were being trampled all over. And that grossly offended many people whom passionately believe in the pomp and circumstance of the royal family.
So go on, tell us what's been happening. Tell us what the nitty-gritty bits that we can expect to read in the book are.
So the reality is that we know currently, if we start at the end and work our way back, we know where Harry and Meghan are at the moment. That's the great paradox of this situation. Here is a couple who said they wanted to abscond from the limelight, yet they've moved to California, where the limelight shines no brighter than anywhere else. So one has to question their motives in moving to California. I think they have the potential to be one of the more substantial and significant figures in the world post-COVID-19 through the establishment of their foundation. It's almost akin to Lance Armstrong before he was found liable for doping. That I think this organization can have a tremendous ability to do so much good around the world. And for Harry, that would certainly be following in the footsteps of his late mother, Princess Diana. Now, how do we get to this situation? Well, in many ways, there are so many similarities between Meghan and Harry. Broken homes, and a desire to want to change the world. And those common themes ran through both of these couples. Meghan Markle was someone who in her early teens, wrote to the head and CEO of Procter & Gamble saying that a commercial was racist and sexist. She also wrote to First Lady Hillary Clinton. I'm not saying for one moment that commercial was changed because of Meghan Markle, but it shows that the activism that she has shown has run deep in her blood for some time.
Can I ask you, when she wrote to Hillary Clinton, what did she write to her and say? What did she write about?
Well, she said she implored her to assist in getting the commercial pulled from the air, and ultimately the commercial was pulled from the air. So that then feeds back into who Meghan Markle is and who Prince Harry is. Here are two individuals that were in many ways, and I actually quote their own words, muzzled by the royal family. Now, the royal family, as we know, long has a tradition that it does not engage with the media. It's had a frosty relationship with the British tabloids dating back to Princess Diana's death and even further. Yet here you had Meghan Markle seemingly at the centre of controversy after controversy, and all she wanted to do was respond to the allegations that were being levelled against her by the media.
But can we roll the tape back just a small little bit? The royal family doesn't have a very good reputation with the press, and particularly the red tops, as we'll call them, the tabloid press in the UK. But a lot of that was their own making because of the silence that came from Buckingham Palace when Princess Diana died, and only for the Prime Minister at the time, Tony Blair, they would have said nothing because he was the one that went in and said, listen, you have to do this. So that's the first thing that I would say to you about the relationship between the royal family and that. Secondly, a lot of people are blaming Meghan for pulling Prince Harry from the clutches of the House of Windsor. Is there any truth in that?
Well, you're absolutely spot on. But the royal family's initial response was silence.
Yeah.
Then the Queen came out and made her statement and appeased the public. But still since then, the relationship with the Red Tops has not been one of unity about the coverage of the royal family. So when Meghan was silenced and unable to respond, she was able to tug at Harry's heartstrings. This was a repeat in his eyes of what happened to his mother, that she was hounded by the press, that their son Archie became a focus of the media, and he didn't want to subject Meghan or Archie to that. And that, I wouldn't call it paranoia, but that concern fed into his ultimate dislike or reluctance to be a royal. And I think that had a tremendous influence on his decision to want to leave the House of Windsor.
How is the relationship between, as far as we know, between the two brothers, between Harry and his older brother?
Well, it was horrible, and it was horrible based on a conversation that Harry and William had, which is a conversation that most siblings would have when Harry was asked by William quite simply, is she the one? He found it to be a subtext of racism and found it to be inappropriate. So started the great abdication crisis of 2019 and 2020.
But now, why would he take offence with a brother asking, is he the one or is she the one? Because, I mean, I have a brother, and I may have asked him, a younger brother, is she the one? What's the problem?
Harry believed that there was a subtext of racism there, that she was a mixed-race divorcee/Hollywood star, and was she the right person to join the royal family?
Okay.
To that end, it began splitting up the group that was known as the Fab Four, Kate, William, Harry, and Meghan, and so began the ultimate decision to cede their royal responsibilities.
Okay.
During COVID-19, though, you have to understand that, like any family, they became inherently tied closer together than they were because of the simple fact that Prince Charles contracted the virus. The Queen at age 93 and 94 was quarantined at Windsor Castle. Her husband, at age 99, susceptible to the disease.
Yeah.
Harry on the other side of the world feeling isolated. Now, what has happened since then, though, has been the release of another royal book called Finding Freedom, which the couple insists that they didn't cooperate with.
Right.
But it's all too convenient to suggest that, because the similarities between some of the things that Meghan has said in her court pleadings, in her action against Associated Newspapers, i.e. the Mail on Sunday, and the reporting in Finding Freedom is very, very similar. Now, they've released a statement in response to that book and said that they haven't cooperated. But one could only imagine that the severity of the allegations that are made in that book are likely to, again, fracture the relationship between the reigning monarchs and the exiled monarchs, if you like.
Okay. I'm going to just read something that somebody sent to me on our WhatsApp. It says, "Hi, we know people who think they know what happens within the royals, but we can't possibly know the nitty-gritty because we aren't in the inner circle ever. And if you were, you wouldn't really say. It's just supposition by the media." And then it went on to something else. But so I'm going to just park that for 1 second. You can respond to that if you want to. Can I go back to William and Kate and Harry and Meghan? Did the two girls have a spat that kind of brought this really to the fore? Is this what it's all about, the two girls having a row?
Well, first, I will answer that question, then I'll respond to your...
Sure, please do. Yeah, thanks.
This was Kate tried very hard to install in Meghan a sense of the tradition and what is expected of someone at the royal family. What happened, though, was that Meghan was a very strong-willed individual and she wouldn't take the advice that was being given to her. And in fact, Kate and the Queen had a discussion at one point about trying to integrate her further into the royal family. The Queen knew that having someone from America who was biracial, who was a Hollywood star, had the potential to modernize the monarchy even further. And here you had the Queen going out of her way to try and make Meghan a solidified member of the family and comfortable within the family. She took her on her private train at one point, a luxury never afforded to William and Harry. She lent her diamond jewelry. She gave her the pick of the litter, if you like, when it came to jewelry for her actual wedding.
Lovely.
So the royals made a really conscious effort to involve Meghan into the family, but Meghan wanted to do her ways, and that involved breaking royal rules.
Okay.
Now, answer your listener's question, one need only look at the thoroughness of the work that I have previously published with my books, a wide variety of subjects from Princess Diana and Jeffrey Epstein, Michael Jackson, and many others, to understand the forensic examination that my work does to provide light into a dark place. Here's what I say about the media today. It is more fractured than it ever has been, particularly in this country. It is split down ideological lines.
Do you think so? Really? In America?
Absolutely.
Ideological?
If you're on the left, you absolutely want to do everything in your power to ensure that President Donald Trump is not re-elected. If you are on the right, you do everything within your power to ensure that Joe Biden is elected as the next president of the United States. And as a result of that, the reality is that the very notion of what journalism stands for, which is to be a bastion of truth and honesty, has been absconded in this pursuit. Okay. And it's very frightening to see the way in which the media operates today. It's largely agenda-driven journalism. And to me, that bias is destroying journalism. Both the right and left have become weaponized.
Yeah, I would.
That's a little off point, but yeah. What I'm saying is that I have a clear conscience in saying that the core function of a journalist is to strive to be a bastion of impartiality, and I'm very proud of the work in Royals at War that it does present a case for and a case against the situation regarding the abdication.
Okay. Does your book throw some light on why the announcement was made that Harry and Meghan were going to cease basically being royals? Why that information was made public before it was discussed with the Queen and with the rest, if we're to believe what we read in the newspapers and on TV?
So the reality was that the couple has acknowledged that they made mistakes. When Royals at War, the book, came out, their statement was a tacit acknowledgement that they had not done things right. They said that they have learned from past mistakes and that they intend to use their charity, Archwell, to right the wrongs that they may have made in the past, and I paraphrase there. I think they would agree that the way in which they handled their split was not ideal. In fact, it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It ruffled royal feathers. It upset the reigning monarch, Queen Elizabeth, and really created much more of a circus and a crisis than what it really could have been. So to that end, I think that the couple has been brave enough and strong enough to acknowledge the wrongs that they did in making that split by announcing it publicly to the world.
All right, look, finally, because I've delayed you probably long enough, but I'm fascinated. It sounds like a wonderful book that goes into great detail. The relationship between Prince Harry and Queen Elizabeth, I would assume, I'm not a grandfather, but I see my mother and you know, my father with my children, grandchildren, and those of my siblings and that, and I see other grannies. And am I right in saying that because they're royals, or maybe not because they're royals, but is there another reason, that there isn't that I'm going to see my granny kind of an heir in the Windsor house, or am I being terribly naive? There was some suggestion that Harry couldn't get an appointment with Queen Elizabeth at certain points in time. It's her grandson. Does it work differently in the House of Windsor?
Well, it does. There are procedures and protocols. What I will say, though, is much of what has been reported has been overblown. Queen Elizabeth was sympathetic to Prince Harry, whilst at the same time being upset about what took place and how it was handled. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. Those two things can coexist. She's also a big believer in not spending British taxpayer dollars.
Sure.
Yet he had a couple that was seemingly spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to renovate Frogmore Cottage.
Right.
So the Queen caught in this this trap, if you like, of wanting to support her grandson, who she adored, and obviously has a fondness that many of us don't have when you lose a mother at the age that he did.
Yes.
So I think she was very conflicted about this, but at the same time, if you know, any historian that has read about the Queen knows that she is a strong believer in everything about tradition, pomp and ceremony, protocols and procedures of the royal family, and is the guardian of that, and is set to hand that over to Prince Charles when he becomes the king. And William, too, is also in that same mindset. Harry, not so much.
All right. Listen, it's been great talking to you. Dylan Howard is the man's name that I've just been talking to. Royals at War, the untold story of Harry and Meghan's shocking split with the House of Windsor. It's available on the TRE website, tre.radio, and you can buy it there if you would like to do so. Dylan, I wish you well with it and your future exploits in writing. And thanks very much for joining us today.